Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I'm Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell.
Welcome to Drama.
Welcome back, everyone. We are once again recording another fun quarantine edition of our podcast. And Connor, you mentioned to me before we actually started recording that we weren't going to plan any sort of an intro.
That's right. Well, you slapped yourself moments before
I did. I just like to get the energy up before we start.
Well, we know.
No. Oh. Connor, don't say what you're going to say.
Anyway.
Connor, you said you had something dramatic you wanted to add.
Lea Michele is pregnant. Okay, so now where's the dramatic news?
Enough. The prophecy continues to fulfill itself.
Yes.
Because we mentioned last week that Lea Michele might be the only 2020 Tony winner. And then now, I think we even discussed that she was pregnant upon getting the award.
We did.
In the broadcast. And now in real life, Lea is pregnant.
And her husband's name is Zandy.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Like, I thought his name was like David or something.
Yeah. No, his name is Zandy, but she calls him affectionately Z.
Is he a civilian?
I think he runs like a clothing brand. I think. I'm making that up.
Does she have any like lifestyle lines?
Other than her two books.
Which you've read.
Well, I've read the first
cover to cover
twice. Brunette Ambition. Wait, and remember how I kept like using it as like a Bible?
You would mention like, oh, well, Lea Michele said this. And she also included like recipes. And so you were fixated one summer, I want to say.
It was January, February of 2017. I was like obsessed with this like lentil soup recipe that she made.
It was
made.
Specifically a lentil soup. Lea Michele's lentil soup.
Yes. I love her. And you know what's sad though? I don't think she's made the pregnancy announcement yet, but every publication has revealed it already.
Oh, like she didn't do an Instagram announcement?
No.
Wait, speaking of Instagram announcements, we were laughing about this with our friend Laura recently, but unfortunately a lot of people have had to postpone their weddings. And it's very interesting to see this culture of postponement announcements.
Right, because, you know, normally it's like people really plan out their proposal announcement,
mm-hmm.
their engagement announcement.
Once they get, like, the proofs back
from
the photographer.
Yeah, then they do, like, the engagement photo shoot, mm-hmm. and then they recycle those through, and they'll use them for, like, various captions.
TBTs or, like, countdowns. Yeah.
And now people are having to use some of those, like, backlogged photos.
Like the cutting room floor.
Uh-huh, for their... I'm so sorry that we've had to make the difficult decision
mm-hmm.
to move our wedding to a time when it would be safer. And also, I'm joking about this, but like, obviously it's the right decision and I understand, but I just think it's hilarious because I keep seeing these dramatic posts that are like, it's safer for our friends.
What I think that you're commenting on is that they all sound the same.
They do.
And so I'm wondering if like, you know, these wedding companies or wedding planners have sort of a template that they'll send to their friends and family, like their clients that are like, here's what you can say that's very classy.
Oh, maybe. I think that people also just like who get involved in wedding culture in general
mm-hmm.
have their go-to captions that they like to say. Like people love to say, and like this is like old news now, but they love to be like, so happy to spend the rest of my life with my best friend.
Yeah.
And remember like that was like the caption and then all of a sudden people realized that was like
there
funny.
Was then backlash against that caption.
So I don't know. It's cracked.
I have very complicated feelings about weddings and social media and things because of a very negative experience that I had with
I'm shaking because I have no idea what you're saying.
Of someone that I knew who was getting married and went like completely overboard and like it's very exciting.
I want you to look me in the eyes mm-hmm. and telepathically tell me who this was.
Who? I'm mouthing off the side of the podcast.
I'm shaking.
Have you seen that some podcasts that are recording via Zoom, they'll also release the video of themselves recording?
I have.
Well, we obviously don't need Zoom. We're in the same house. But if we were to do that, people would see exactly what I was mouthing.
I know. Oh my God, I'm
But anyways, my complicated feelings are just like, you're sharing so much with the world. And, you know, like, what happened to, like, the beautiful golden glory days of you know, simple times and photos not being used for every occasion afterwards.
I take a lot of pictures just for fun. And sometimes, like, I remember in college I would do that and I would just be like, oh, this is just for me. And people would be like, you're not going to post it? And mm-hmm. I'm like, no, it's like just for me.
Oh, I do that to Hunter all the time. We'll like be at a restaurant and I'll just take a picture. Well, you know, before. And I'll take a picture of him and I'll just be like, you look cute over this thing of soup. And he'll be like, don't post that.
I know.
I'm like, well, I won't.
So annoyed. Wait, my least favorite thing on the planet is when you're like taking a video of someone and they're like being silly mm-hmm. for the video.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they're like, wait, were you recording me?
Yeah.
And they're like, stop it, stop it.
And they get like shy suddenly and act like they weren't putting on a performance.
I know.
I think that we're both guilty of that, though.
Oh, 100%. That's what makes it fun.
It's one of those learned things. You see other people doing it, and then it's like, the human race is fascinating, and this is getting a little too
existential
for what we want to bring.
We're Malcolm Gladwell. Wait, what is that? What is he?
I don't want to know.
Okay, but back to Lea Michele.
Yeah.
I'm sad that she didn't get to break the announcement, but weren't we literally just saying, I wonder if she'll ever win a Tony? That was like what
yeah,
we said.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tony's are on the brain because the Tony nominations would have come out this week.
Come out today, as of the day that we're recording this. It hurts a little bit, but I just think that we were all prepared.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the last time I'm going to say this, but like, today would have been either a really exciting day for me or a really sad day based on if, you know, Aaron Tveit was nominated. But also, like, I was doing some research into the Tonys in the last couple weeks because a few years ago, I actually went back and watched all the ceremonies going back to the 90s, and I never got to finish that project, but a lot of them are on YouTube. And there have been years where some of the categories have been completely non-competitive, where it's the fact of, like, there might be two best musicals nominated. Like, in 1995, for example, Sunset Boulevard and Smokey Joe's Cafe were the two musicals nominated for best musical.
That's it?
That's it.
Which one won?
Do you want to guess?
Is that a stupid question?
No, it was Sunset Boulevard.
It was Sunset Boulevard. Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting, too, is people are saying, well, what would even be nominated?
I hate when people say that.
I hate it. Just because, like, the front-runner type musicals didn't end up opening this season.
Wait, what were they?
Well, Doubtfire.
Okay.
And Sing Street. And Six never even opened.
Yeah.
Diana didn't open. Like, you know, everything.
Flying
Over Sunset, which was pushed. And so I think that, like, yes, we could absolutely have a Tony Awards that's Moulin Rouge versus Jagged Little Pill versus Tina.
Versus
Lightning Thief was another one this season. But there could certainly be those categories. I'm scared of this notion of not having a Tonys this year because there's, in a way, it would be the first time in history that there's not a Tonys.
Really?
The first time.
Dylan, you're exposing dark histories. Not even dark, but real truths.
And we're living through it, which is crazy.
I know.
And if there isn't one this year, would they just clump in the nominees with next year?
I do, but I don't think that many new things are even going to open in the next year.
T.
I really don't. I don't know what producers are going to take huge risks, you know, in a hopefully post, you know, coronavirus world.
We would hope
hopefully there's a vaccine or at least testing in the next, you know, few months. I mean, there's not going to be a vaccine in the next few months.
No.
But hopefully there's much more efficient testing to make people feel safer to actually leave their homes. And
you know what? I would be fine with them. The wheels in my head are suddenly turning, and that if we don't have one this year, and next year ends up just sort of being like this year all over again with not a lot of shows opening or the shows that were just supposed to open, that's fine. I will take comfort in
that. But then it's like, okay, what if an actor leaves the show that originated a role? Like, for example, Moulin Rouge being, I think, the example, because it opened in, what, July or August of 2019?
Yep.
So hypothetically, in June of 2021, there's a Tony Awards that includes the year 2019, all of 2020, all of 2021. What if, like, Karen Olivo leaves the show?
Yeah.
When does the eligibility window close?
I think it's just according to opening night.
Opening night.
Mm-hmm.
So what if voters didn't get to see her yet?
Well, maybe they would do like what
I'm so gagged.
They did with Tony Shalhoub and The Band's Visit, and they had special Tony viewers performances for...
Which, you know, I disagree with that win. Tony Shalhoub and The Band's Visit.
I think the 2018 season in general was one of my favorite years for theater in the last couple of years.
Yeah, why were we so excited by it? I just remember loving it.
We're suckers for like feel good commercial type shows. Like we love, we obviously you've listened, if you're listening to Drama, you know that Connor and I love pretty much everything we see. We find the good in a lot of what we see. We talk about The Inheritance at length, and we talk about like more serious material like that. But we also talk about Frozen and Mean Girls, which were two of the shows that were nominated for Best
and
Musical
SpongeBob.
That year. SpongeBob and then Band's Visit were the four that were up that year.
Okay.
We love that. I have the memories from that season. I think it was the first year we saw every best musical nomination, like
before the Tonys. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that was so fun. Remember, because I wasn't living in New York yet, but I came and visited, and me and Hunter like rushed for Mean Girls.
You not only did you rush, you went in the dead of the night, and were like soldiers in the field.
Troublesome. But okay, I actually learned this at like a work happy hour thing we did. We played Broadway Jeopardy last week, and somebody told me this. Mean Girls is got 12 Tony nominations, okay. Right? Didn't win a single one. And I think it might be between that and Scottsboro Boys. I think they're tied.
Oh my God.
Fact check me, someone, please.
Yeah.
Can you believe that Mean Girls didn't win a single Tony? I think it could have won a Tony.
It was like the favorite to win Best Book because Tina Fey was nominated and everyone loves a celebrity win. And it was
a great book. But Band's Visit won everything except scenic design.
Scenic design and I believe costumes.
And Lindsay Mendez won featured actress.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that Tonys and being like, oh my God, I think everyone's going to win something. It felt like that was going to happen that year, right?
People thought maybe Gavin Lee or Norbert Leo Butz was going to win first featured actor. And I mean, Katrina Lenk, it was hers. And then obviously Ethan Slater was the front runner for leading actor.
Well, remember there was also musicals that season that like were snubbed. You had Frozen, which I mean, I think Patty Murin was
in particular
incredible in Frozen. I mean, Casey Levy's obviously incredible too, but I think what Patty Murin did was just out of this world. She was totally snubbed. And you know what's interesting about Mean Girls is so many of the acting performances got nominated because I think a lot of the roles are just so memorable and so well written, and they really did a great job casting that show.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say my biggest snub from that season in terms of like leading, not getting a nomination, would have been Erica Henningsen, who played Katie Heron in Mean Girls.
And that's the trouble when you have two leading actresses in a show.
Agree, but I still don't think there's no way Regina has as much stage time
as Katie.
And Taylor Lauterman was nominated for playing Regina. And don't get me wrong, Taylor Lauterman is out of this world. Like, she was incredible as Regina. Like, the little walk she did. And, I mean, her vocals are just, you know, obviously a Gagaroonie. But I remember thinking, Erica should have been nominated for leading actress. And I also remember feeling... I like had a strong feeling at the time that like Barrett Wilbert Weed should have been nominated for featured actress.
Yeah. And she was like very like publicly snubbed
was
about
she?
It and like peeved. Yeah.
Cause that was also the year, what wasn't there like 6 leading actress nominations?
Yeah. Cause that was also Summer was that year.
Oh, LaShawn.
Hayley Kilgore for Once on This Island.
Okay. She deserved it.
And my big snub that year, other than the women of Frozen, was Paul Nolan not getting a nomination for Margaritaville.
That was Margaritaville. Mm-hmm.
It was such a big year. It was like one of those seasons that like there was too many shows. I mean, there was even more new shows the season prior when Dear Evan Hansen, Come From Away, Great Comet, Bandstand, In Transit.
Anastasia,
all those shows opened. And so it's just like now we have a problem with this year where there's just not enough. So it just comes and it goes. And like we often talk about awards really don't mean
anything
too much.
They
like at the end of the day,
can't.
We just get so excited about them because what do gays love more than comparing their divas and performances and things like that?
That was a good year. Why am I like so thinking about 2018 right now for some reason?
It was just really fun. I don't know. I also did not know that about Mean Girls. I wonder what the most nominated that did win. I would assume it was probably the producers.
It's the producers.
Or Hamilton. I know that like broke the record for nominations
this year. That's right. I think most of Hamilton's losses were in acting categories that
it was up against.
They were double nominees. With the exception of Philippa Sue in leading actress.
That was the only category that didn't go to Hamilton.
Yeah, that Hamilton could have gone
to,
right?
That was Ms. Erivo.
Scenic design. Didn't She Loves Me win?
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't believe that we like know these things. It's so crazy.
We've cared so much for so many years, and I hope that the listeners do as well.
Maybe they're learning something too.
Speaking of awards in general,
okay.
I mentioned last week during my dose of drama that Broadway was basically snubbed during the Drama Desk Award nominations, and I was doing a little bit of research on that, and there were 172 acts recognized.
Whoa.
Only 31 of them went to Broadway shows.
Wow.
And the only Broadway shows nominated for like the big categories, like outstanding play, musical, or revival of either, were The Inheritance, A Soldier's Play.
Which you saw.
Which I saw. And I actually really enjoyed it. I saw that with my friend Kelly. Shout out. And
hey, Kelly.
Kelly. We love Kelly.
Friend of the pod.
Very, very deep, deep friend of the pod.
If you know, you know.
West Side Story was the only musical nominated for revival.
Oh, yeah?
Which, you know, obviously, like, Company had yet to open and things like that, but interesting, right?
Very interesting.
I think it's a little bit more rare to see, like, musicals revived off-Broadway, unless it's in, like, a more commercial setting, like we saw with Little Shop this year, or...
Jersey Boys moved from Broadway to off-Broadway.
Yeah, that's a great example.
So did Avenue Q.
And Rent did that.
Did they get... Were they eligible then for awards?
I wonder about that. If anyone knows, let us know.
Yeah. I have no idea. I've never actually even thought about it before.
With those two productions, I believe it was just pared down versions of the Broadway production, so I don't think they would be in conversation necessarily.
Gotcha.
Whereas, like, Rent, when it went off Broadway, it was like the reimagining of Rent. In some of which, like, I just listened to Ben Thompson on Guys Who Like Musicals, and he covered Collins.
Really?
Like a white Collins. Interesting,
oh, that's
right?
That's cool. Wasn't yeah. Emily Ashford in that?
I think she was Maureen in that production.
Wig.
She would have been phenomenal.
I love
Speaking
her.
Of Anna Lee.
Oh, she slayed Boots Down.
Yes. You're so funny. We watched the Sondheim at 90. 90.
Sondheim 90, mother.
Birthday celebration the other night that we did not watch live because we have a standing house. Well, now it's a Zoom. It was a house party,
but we moved to Zoom for more security.
For security reasons.
For security purposes.
Yeah. And I heard there was like an hour of delays.
I know.
So sad.
But everyone's like, oh, this is so Broadway. We're theater people and we wait for everything.
Why am I being shady today? You're reminding me of like the kid in an audition room who's like an adult in a child's
body.
I
love Broadway.
Or who's that character on SNL?
It was Vanessa Bayer.
Vanessa Bayer plays like a kid who reviews movies or something like that.
She was so funny.
Or no, that's a Heidi Gardner character who loves
movies. Was Vanessa Bayer just like young child actress?
I think she was actually playing an actor.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So funny. So they had this great Sondheim show the other night.
No one's saying Being Alive.
No, Raul Esparza, of course, the sexy host of the night. Hoyt.
Somebody tweeted about wearing his jockstrap as a face mask, and I said, gonna have to stand on that one.
He was amazing.
Hot.
Yeah, he's aged very well. We saw him in Seared, of course, with our first guest of the pod.
My wig.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Why did I forget that?
I think that it was so long ago, and also he wasn't singing, and he was just like a mean chef.
I'm gagged, Dylan. I was literally watching him like I'd never seen him before in my life yesterday. Uh-huh. I was like, who is this man?
Well,
he slayed. Take Me to the World.
It was great. It was
take
poignant.
Me to it, mother.
It was like
I'm being cracked.
It felt like an 11 o'clock number.
It did, even though there was still the ladies who lunch.
I can't. It was they decided to just give the gays everything they wanted.
There were so many things to say about this, which if you're listening and you haven't seen this, you need to watch. From this Sondheim 90 concert, it's the ladies who lunch, which is from the musical Company, and Christine Baranski, Meryl Streep and Audra McDonald do a trio version of it in which they're all pouring themselves alcohol, schmacting the hell out of this. It is brilliant and they sound great.
The live vocals are on bleak.
They really, Audra, talking about slaying boots the house down.
Audra is everything.
Oh my God.
And
the mother I never had.
You know, she was in this season as in Frankie and Johnny.
And, you know, of course, Tony voters would have already all gotten that in their eligibility window.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gagged. She was great.
She was amazing.
We always talk about that scene.
She was bravely bare-breasted in the show.
She was. That apartment was kind of big.
Yeah, I was like, where do you live, Hell's Kitchen?
I forget. That was like
it was a great set. Summer. I actually really liked that show.
I did too. Everyone was like, it's problematic now. And I was like, yeah, it's problematic. Like, I was with people. I was like, yeah, like, Frankie Johnny's so problematic.
Nervously, like,
and then I saw
sweating.
It and I was like, he's really pushy and he like literally won't leave her apartment. Mm. So yes, but everyone else was always like, oh my God, I'm acting like RuPaul on his podcast all of a sudden where I'm like, everyone's too sensitive right now.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I'm sensitive too. And obviously Dylan is, we're both
uber sensitive.
Wait, I'm like rambling, but the Ladies Who Lunch was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I love that Meryl is like in the extended Sondheim universe.
Totally.
I mean, well, granted she was the witch in Into the Woods movie.
Yeah. Any other Sondheim?
As far as movies, not that I can say off the top
Broadway?
Of my head. I believe she's done Broadway, but like in a play capacity.
I would be gagged for Meryl Streep to go back to Broadway. Imagine Broadway opening up after Corona and it being like with Meryl Streep starring as
MAME.
Auntie MAME.
Yeah,
something.
She'd be great.
Oh my God. Because I don't think she's won a Tony. She hasn't won a Tony.
No.
Oh my God, I'd be so good.
Or a Grammy.
Is she going to win an Emmy for playing Mary Louise on Big Little Lies season 2?
She might, because I think that's the sort of starry performance that they really go for. And anytime Meryl, actually, I think Meryl has an Emmy.
She does.
For Angels in America.
She does.
Maybe, maybe not. Someone tell me I'm wrong. Robbie Rizzo.
Yes.
Anyone out there?
Robbie?
What were some of your other favorite moments from
from the Sondheim concert? Mm-hmm. I, all of a sudden, I'm like nervous and I'm like, what did I watch? I'm just kidding. No, I loved Donna Murphy singing Send in the Clowns.
It was poignant. It was somber. I think I liked the way that everyone sort of took a number that's obviously usually performed on a huge stage, and it became like this intimate, you really had to just listen to the words, because taken out of context. And Donna Murphy, she had the whole scene set.
Queen.
She was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
We're going to have to stand on that.
Have to stand on that one.
I loved Beanie Feldstein.
Oh, she's a
and
doll.
Ben Platt.
Yeah, they were fantastic
doing
together.
It Takes Two for Me to Win. I saw this hilarious tweet that was like, if they were in the studio system, they would have been in a sham marriage.
Isn't that right?
It's so tea. That's tea.
I think what I liked about that was that it was like up-tempo and upbeat.
Ben looks, he's looking good. Moving on. Move on. Move on.
Move on to Annalee Ashford and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why, that was our segue into this.
Mm-hmm, it was, because they were fantastic. And it was, I mean, Annalee is like perfect in every way.
Oh, we were also talking about this, because I think that she has a good chance, or would have had a good chance of winning the Tony for that, for playing Dot and Sunday in the Park with George that season, had Bette Midler not been in Hallowed Dolly.
And now this was the 2017.
This was 2017. Tony's. So I think, because remember, Sunday in the Park with George famously withdrew themselves from Tony eligibility because they were
Which
doing the production
gag.
To like relaunch the Hudson and like whatever. Because they probably would have won a lot of Tony.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the politics behind that, because obviously Scott Rudin had Dolly that season.
And then there was Dear Evan Hansen, Come From Away, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was incredible in Sunday in the Park, and she was an incredible Sunday night. We keep going like off on these little tangents.
No, it's fun. I love when our episodes are theater heavy.
And then
as
I was like, yeah, we know. And then I was like, maybe she could win the Olivier. And you were like, it didn't open in London.
Because
Sunday's in London now.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be this summer with Jake.
Oh, okay. I don't love his voice, his singing voice.
Yeah, me either.
Does anyone? Write us at thedramapodcast@gmail.com. Right. Because I don't know if anyone does.
I think that he's good in like finishing the hat.
Yeah. No, he was great in it, but.
Oh, yeah. He moved me to tears.
You know who would be great in that part? I'm being annoying. Ben Platt.
He would be great.
Obviously not yet.
He would be great. Yeah. Maybe give him 10 to 20 years.
We're like, let's age him significantly.
Well, because he's older than I remember.
Ben is our age.
Right.
20.
Oh, enough. of course, we loved Aaron Tveit's Marry Me a Little.
Yeah, he sounded amazing.
He was great. And then Katrina Lenk singing Joanna.
She did a great job.
I have a question for the listeners. Also write in at thedramapodcast@gmail.com. Her accent work when she sings.
Yeah, it's almost like that indie girl who auditions for The Voice. And this is her in real life. Hi, my name's Emily, and I really love to sing. And then she starts singing, and she goes, oh, I'm a singing girl. And then I don't actually watch The Voice, so I'm making this up, but this would also happen on American Idol.
They all hit the button. And
they hit the button and they're like, you have this amazing recording. That was my Christina Aguilera. This amazing recording voice.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, why does her singing voice sound like she's like so crunchy?
It's bizarre.
It's very Catherine Gallagher.
It is. Yeah, Catherine Gallagher has that indie type voice.
Why do people do that? Write us.
I don't think they do it on purpose. I think it's just the way their voice is.
No, but then some people are like, I added tone to that cover. Why am I being crazy?
I don't know what you mean when you say that.
Like, they'll be like, I added tone to that. And they sound kind of like indie singery.
Okay.
But I like it.
I certainly think it's
I'm not hating. I'm being funny.
I mean, you're like Maggie Rogers is like your favorite pop singer.
Yes.
And she's someone who has like that.
Perfect example. Mm. I watch her Tiny Desk NPR concert like every day. And she's like singing and she's got like this great voice. And then she starts talking and her singing voice is like, hi, my name's Maggie. And I'm going to sing you a song today. It's like literally that's what she talks like. And you're like, wait, what?
And then she sounds like Galadriel when she sings.
I love when people have like Galadriel.
I don't know where that came from.
Cate Blanchett. I love when people have like that seamless speaking to singing.
Mm-hmm.
Like
we were talking about this recently and I cannot remember now who it is. Oh, I think Norbert Leo Butz is a great example of that.
For sure. Oh my God. Uh-huh. Yes.
And that's when he becomes like, he's just the consummate storyteller with
his
singing.
He's a chanteuse. Wait, what's that mean?
I think it's like a like a slinky bar singer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Norbert.
In a way, my vibe in college.
We've been in the knowing.
Yeah.
What and else then did you like?
I would say the last thing that I do want to comment on was just Bernadette Peters singing No One Is Alone a cappella.
Yes, God. Yes, Mother. Yes, Mary. Yes, Bernie.
And when
I'm a Bernie bro for Bernadette.
I think that with her, when I think Sondheim, she is one of the ones who just comes to mind.
Legend.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. I would be so nervous if I met her.
Me too.
She
saw her in Hello Dolly.
Younger and younger every time she's on camera.
I know, she looked younger than some of the people who were on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see some people who've gotten a little.
Which
we were talking about, Dr. Zizmore, and others who haven't.
We did talk about that one person who was looking a little older. We're not going to say their name out of respect. But
out of respect.
It's always interesting when you can tell they've had like work done, which obviously it's well documented on Drama that we love plastic surgery.
We are fascinated by it.
I'm fascinated by it. I'm like, okay, well, they definitely had fillers under their eyes. They've had some Botox in their forehead. But then sometimes you can see in like their eyelids that they haven't had, like you can see their age in their eyelids.
They look weary.
They look weary.
When the rest of them looks 20.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. But I mean, I don't care.
A part of me thinks like there's no point. But another part of me knows that like we live in that like the capital of Hunger Games world where like you have to look a certain way.
I know. You know what I loved in that? We watched Jane Fonda on Five Acts last week, which
is
unbelievable.
Fantastic documentary on HBO.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a woman who has lived 100 lives.
Mm-hmm.
And each act is like an important male figure from her life.
Because she's been married multiple times.
Yeah,
and
married?
Her father obviously was
a
huge icon actor of his time.
And he's like act one. And the next acts are her three husbands. And then the final act. Wait, I'm weepy.
It's
finally Jane.
Yeah.
She's just act five. Because she's living her life. Mm-hmm. But she had this amazing moment of self-awareness where, at the end, where she talks about, I wish I wasn't the kind of person who wants everyone to look a certain way or to, you know, whatever. She said it way better than I am right now. But I was like, what a legend. Mm-hmm. Like, she's obviously had work done. She's in her 80s.
Multiple face snatches.
Oh, and they are great.
They're great. Yes, she is in her 80s. I think she's 82.
Oh, my God.
At the time of the documentary, she was 82.
82. And she's like, she's on there. She's like, yeah, I mean, like, I love an older face. Like, I love seeing age in a face.
I love the way she said that.
But she's like, but for some reason, I'm just not that strong. And I couldn't do that. And I was like, I was fully gagged.
Society that, you know, has shaped her. She grew up in that showbiz family. The way that it was framed about, like, the men who made her reminds me of in Smash.
I know.
There's an idea of when they bring in the dramaturg that maybe like Bombshell will be a musical that's not like Marilyn the musical. It's more about like the men who made Marilyn.
That's right. Who's that actor that plays the dramaturg? He's super hunky.
He's in everything.
He's in everything. He was in that. Wasn't he in that Aaron Tveit show? I almost called it Outlander. No, Graceland. I forget what it's called. But you know, what I was thinking about the Jane Fonda doc is I would like. Obviously, she's at a certain age and where you get this awareness at that age. I would live to see a Gaga doc like that one day where she actually pulls us behind the curtain and says, this is exactly what I was thinking during the fame monster, Born This Way, you know.
Yeah.
Joanne. I just think that she is maybe the most interesting celebrity to me.
Definitely.
Did I say interest? Ting. I don't know what I just said, but she is like fascinating. We talk about her every week.
Well, because she's also
Drama.
In the conversation a lot lately, but
she is.
She's impacted so many of us.
Oh my God. But I was thinking about it because her album continues to leak. Her Chromatica keeps leaking. And First Stupid Love leaked like 2 months before it came out.
Uh-huh.
And now there's all these snippets of like her duet with Ariana Grande, which we got to stand, which we will talk about Ariana in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad for her because she pushed Chromatica from being released this April. And it's going to have to come out soon because at this point there are snippets of at least 3 or 4 songs out. I have a feeling it was going to be a super visual album too. Like we saw the music video,
yeah.
Stupid Love. And I'm just
Connor, a lot might be done.
You think, really?
Yeah.
That would be a gag.
Because if she was planning on releasing it in April, how much was she going to do in a month when things shut down?
I just don't think she would have made a second music video.
That's true.
But who
knows? Some artists are resorting to interesting things. Like, Todrick Hall is releasing a new album tomorrow or today or whatever. He announced that, and he did it all at home. And Niall Horan released a music video for Black and White, and it's like scenes from like old movies that are like in black and white.
That's
cut
cute.
Together with like black and white concert
well, and
footage.
Then Jake Wilson, who I would love to have on Drama.
Yeah, he's great.
Director, Michigan grad. But
for those who don't know who Jake Wilson is, he made this incredible gay parody of New Rules by Dua Lipa.
Yeah, as well as like another a Troy Sivan song featuring the drag queen Milk. Like he directs videos. I think he did one for Betty Who, but he did Sam Smith and Demi Lovato's new song with like action figures.
I saw that.
It's just funny. Like at first I was kind of like, what is going on? But now I feel like we're going to look back on this time and be like, oh yeah, no, that's why they had to do it this way. Mm-hmm. Because, maybe we'll get a real music video from Demi and Sam down the line. I heard too that was supposed to be like an Olympics song.
I think they themed it around that. I don't know. Is there usually like an Olympics anthem?
Yeah. Remember, wasn't Katy Perry's song Rise?
I think
an Olympic anthem?
I think you're right.
I forget what year that would have been.
I think it was 2016. Because it's every 4 years.
Wait, what were you saying? Oh, Ariana.
Yeah, so another streamed concert was Jason Robert Brown.
Ms. Grande.
Did one of his like subculture Monday night shows. And it was only 40 minutes, which I think is my only complaint about it, because it was absolutely phenomenal. He did all of the hits that you know and love from his latest album, How We React and How We Recover. But he had Shoshana Bean and Ariana Grande guest star.
Legends.
These two are like probably two of my favorite female voices.
Yeah. They can sing anything.
Shoshana is unreal. Her Jenna and Waitress was my favorite of all the Jennas.
Yeah.
And I loved it. What I love about this quarantine time, you know, like looking for these silver linings, is it's given opportunities to people who contain multitudes to be able to like reemerge into like the theater world. So for example, we had that Rosie show, and like
that feels like so long ago.
Yeah, that was. I mean, it was 100 years ago, and you got a bunch of people popping in there who like, you know, they are in the theater world, but not really. And the same thing happened with Ariana Grande doing this Jason Robert Brown gig, and
singing from the
as
last
well as
five
the Disney
years.
Thing that she did a while ago.
Oh yeah, that was great. A while ago, last week.
Yeah,
2 weeks ago.
Truly.
No, but she's saying from the last 5 years. And what's so funny is I'm seeing all the Twitter gays being like, this is my favorite musical.
Wait, what?
I'm not kidding. All these like thirst trap Twitter gays that I follow are like, oh my God, Ari's singing a song from my favorite musical of all time. And I'm like, it's like insert that Untucked Drag Race where they're like sipping their drinks quietly. Like,
it's not that there's any issue with the last 5 years. It's just... gagged.
The randomness of it all.
That they're suddenly coming out of the woodwork. I think that's like that idea of like claiming, like hitching yourself onto a wagon.
100%. We're like, well, no, I actually saw Hamilton at the Public.
Right.
It's like, which I didn't, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, for sure. Oh, that's so funny. That
I know. I literally saw when I was like, you've literally never talked about theater ever.
Ari sounded beyond gorgeous.
Retouched by a mother tucking angel.
Right, as she does.
But amazing.
And we were talking about this with our friends last night, that she also, of course, did The Wizard and I at the Wicked 15 celebration.
Yeah.
And she really stays true to her Broadway roots in certain ways.
She loves
and
it.
And I wonder what we'll see her in one day. Because, you know, she hasn't been on Broadway since 13.
I don't think she'll do Broadway again, but I could see her doing another movie musical
like how she did.
Oh, yeah, she did Hairspray Live, which I thought she was just okay in.
You don't think she'll do a Broadway show?
I don't think so.
Even if it was like
she's making too much money,
an adaptation of something, or like a Legally Blonde revival or something along the I'm just throwing things out.
Wig.
There.
I don't know.
You know who I could see her as? Regina George in Mean Girls.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
We know she can bounce.
They're making the movie version of Mean Girls.
They are making the movie version of Mean Girls. Well, she was rumored to be in the Prom movie.
I could see her at... Oh, that's right. And then everyone was like, it's not a gay character. Wasn't she like playing... No, it wasn't even revealed who she was playing, and everyone assumed she was playing Alyssa Green,
yeah.
But that's the only character's name I remember because she has a song that's literally called Alyssa Green.
Which is random.
Emma is the main girl.
Mm-hmm. How I loved the Prom.
I know, me too. Wait, I'm suddenly gagged for the idea of the Mean Girls film, movie musical version, which they're making, with Ariana maybe playing Karen or Gretchen.
But see, she's more leading to me.
You think she has the acting chops?
I think she did play a ditzy character on
That's
Victorious.
That's why I'm leaning towards Karen.
But Karen only gets that sexy song. Like, I want to hear her belt. If anything, I'd want to see her as Gretchen.
I'm actually shaking thinking about her doing the My Name is Regina George.
She'd be incredible. And of course, you know, you'd have the auto-tune and retouching that she seems to love, because they did that with I Won't Say I'm in Love and Still Hurting.
I'm suddenly celeb casting in my head. What if Shawn Mendes played Aaron Samuels?
Oh, he'd be great. But keep Camilla away.
Okay, so we're talking
right now about like celebrity casting, and this is something we did not address last week.
What is it?
But we had put out like that call to action of like, oh, yeah, what other reality shows would you see? And we heard from some listeners.
Spill the tea.
So the idea being like, if there was a reality show on MTV or ABC or something along those lines where we're going to seek out a new lead for a show. And I think that I was too specific in it because then I was thinking about it myself and running out of ideas. But we did get great ideas. We were someone who was wanting to find the next six queens, which could be great. I mean, those are all based on pop stars. So like, why the heck not have Ariana Grande as singing All You Want to Do, which is like who that character is based on.
Oh my God, that'd be a great movie.
And then
so I went right for movie. I'm like skipping.
I was like, wow, okay. We also have like the Evan Hansen one, which I think we talked about. Yeah. Will he be found? I think that's great because like that is sort of the audience maybe that would go see Dear Evan Hansen after a while.
Yeah.
That's how Dear Evan Hansen found its audience, with having Ben Platt and then having the album come out just after it opened, like a couple, I think it came out in like the show opened in December and then the album came out that February.
Oh.
They were able to like bring in all these people because they loved the music. And now if you fall in love with someone who's trying to be Evan, and that's great.
That's a good idea. Because mm-hmm. they, after being on Broadway for a few years too, it's probably going to be like, other than star casting.
Yeah. And then we had a Finding Fiero.
Finding Fiero.
It was just cute. And like, I think that you could definitely find, like, who wouldn't want to go see some cute boy they see?
I'm in.
But I envision that as like a web series reality competition.
The search for the next twinkie prince.
Oh, there you go. See, it wrote itself.
I just wrote it. Or twunky.
Are you Aaron Burr, sir?
Are you Aaron Burr, sir?
Are you? I think that's fun. And
at all?
At all. Hamilton will eventually need that. But I do think... Yeah, there was like a big like online petition to have Patina Miller play Aaron Burr at some point.
Oh my God.
And so like once we can like switch play with like gender in that show, I think we'll see even more opportunities for like gag casting.
I'm surprised they haven't.
I'm sure Beyonce is going to be one of the Skylar sisters in the Hamilton movie.
Oh my God, my wig.
Which, you know, In the Heights was pushed to 2021 now, the movie. I think someone was like, oh, now Hamilton's also coming out that same year. And I was like, don't be silly.
No.
They're not going to release both of those movies in the same year. But
oh,
also,
oh, the staged version.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, they're not doing an adaptation. That. They're just releasing the staged version.
When was that going to come out? This summer?
I believe it was 2021.
Or this fall? I forget.
But if they do a Hamilton movie one day, Beyonce would be great.
Now is the time to just
not
put it online.
As Eliza, but as Angelica.
Oh, yeah, totally. Who could play Eliza? We could sit here dream casting all day. Mm-hmm. We don't need to keep doing this.
I know.
I'm like,
you're annoyed.
This is not fun for any of our listeners.
And
they're like,
of course, finding an Elsa in Frozen, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And then we had one submission from someone who I'll remain nameless, who's wanted to find the next Beverly Bass in Come From Away.
I'm shaking. I'm shaking. What would like the week to week competitions for like a Beverly Bass, like? Reality show entail.
I mean you'd obviously, because you're playing multiple roles, so
oh, right.
You're playing the school teacher character. Jen Colella would come in as like your friend. And
I want to be on that show.
That'd be fun. I love that. But I was thinking about how when they did the Grease show, the concept was, we're reviving Grease on Broadway and we're casting its stars this way, so we could also open it up to like,
that's right,
if you want to bring any show back, like Annie, and we're looking for a Miss Hannigan or like something along those lines.
I love it.
Even though I famously don't love Annie. But I just think it's, you know, overdone.
It's one of those things that, like, everything, you need, like, that recognition. Like, Grease is one of the most iconic. They could have done it for mm-hmm. a West Side Story revival. They could have been like, we're casting the next Tony and Maria.
Yeah.
Here's our, definitely. You know, whatever they call it, West Side Story. If they, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if they did, like, High School Musical live on ABC.
Oh, that's fun.
They could cast Troy and Gabriella. But I don't think they would do it.
No.
It's High School Musical's been gone for so long at this point that mm-hmm. it's like they have High School Musical, the musical, the series on Disney Plus. But other than that, I don't know. High School Musical isn't necessarily like in the cultural conversation right now or like ever. You
yeah.
know? Anyway, no, it is. It is. I don't know why I'm like saying it's not.
Yeah.
But remember when Vanessa Hudgens like canceled herself in the first week of of us being like staying at home.
Yeah, but like, we've all forgotten.
She was like,
about
yeah,
him.
People are gonna die, but like, it's inevitable, isn't it?
And she's like, I probably shouldn't say that.
Oh my God. And then I noticed on her Insta, she turned off comments for like a month. And then she started doing like damage control. Like, I feel bad for her. Cause like, have we talked about this on the podcast? I can never remember.
What about?
Like, about celebrities who are oblivious and then people are like mad that they're not woke. But then you realize, no, they literally do not live on our planet. They don't.
That's a great point.
They don't drive themselves. They, a lot of times, like, don't actually keep up with the news or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, they have people getting them their food. They have people setting up their meetings and their calendars. Like, they rarely make decisions for themselves at a certain point. I mean, sure, like, in business and love and yeah. things like that, but...
Sometimes,
yeah. I mean, tea. But I'm not surprised that Vanessa Hudgens didn't understand the gravity of the situation. I remember, like, end of February, early March, I was working from home for some reason, and I was watching some show on E, and one of the hosts didn't know that coronavirus had come to the US yet. And this was literally like end of February, early March. And I remember watching it and being like, what the heck? Like, this host of this entertainment news show doesn't even know that corona has hit the US. And now as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, people just didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
They were just like, I don't know. And I'm not making excuses for them, but like, even I was like, oh, we're going to be fine for a few
weeks.
Well, I think
that's sort of like what's happened here. Like, we were all sort of going at our own pace, and then like, we were all forced to put the brakes on, or like, at least the blinkers, to sort of change the way that our lives were lived. And we were going to see the world. Like, I know for me, like, I needed to stop with the rate I was going. And like, I really have been able to find the positives of this time. We skipped RUL this week, but like, maybe now's the chance. Like, I feel well now knowing that like, I've been able to like rediscover my artistic self and uncover my secret artist storyline.
You were literally painting the other day.
I was painting and Connor came in the room and I was like, I'm like Jack Kelly and Newsies or Matt Saracen and Friday Night Lights. Like, an unassuming artist.
We always joke about it.
And, you know, it's just, we can't go back to the way things were at this point, because, you know, I think that this perspective has gone into this, like, you know, promises made during quarantine can't be kept in the winter.
Oh my God, stop.
But at the same time, I know, like, when this is done, I want to travel. I want to get tattoos. Like, all the things that I've always held myself back from doing, like, there's no point in holding yourself back from living the life that you want to live.
Because you never know how much time you have.
Exactly.
It is wild.
So if anything, like, the world is being for, it's like the snap at the end of the Avengers. Like,
think about how exciting it is going to be to finally go back to our first Broadway show.
Oh yeah.
It is going to be, oh my God, I just got to chill thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, doing those things that we like literally live for, or like, you know, going to a workout class, or the first time you get to like hang out with your friends at the bar or something. Like, it is going to feel like the biggest event. I'm literally going to like start crying, like, thinking about this. Like,
well, because the magic is restored then, if something you might take for granted.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's going to a drag show again.
I know. So many good things.
I know.
You know what? I have an update that's corona related that I've been meaning to mention, that I found out a few weeks ago, but I just literally have not talked about.
Yeah, what is it?
Do we have time for it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The state of The Bachelorette.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I have a few things to say. So this summer was supposed to be the airing of the long time Bachelor
long
Nation.
Gesting.
Claire Crawley was supposed to be The Bachelorette.
Which we talked about this with Haley Pichun.
Yeah, which we were predicting. Like, oh, is it going to be her? And then it was. So her season was supposed to start. The day it was supposed to start filming, they shut it down. And so the guys had already been leaked to like all the entertainment blogs, like, oh my God, you know, her entire cast, which most of them were like way younger than her, because she is, I believe, 39 now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember she was 38
going to turn 39. So filming would usually be wrapping up around now, or like in its, because it would have started like end of mid March, and I think it goes like about 6 to 8 weeks. So she would be going up towards the end, but travel's built into that and other things. So they've postponed the season, obviously.
Okay.
This is the Bachelor's tea. They were also supposed to have a Bachelor Summer Games this year that was going to happen during the Olympics.
Like they did with Winter Games during the Winter Games. Olympics.
But then they were also going to do Bachelor in Paradise even.
Okay.
So they were going to do all of it. So Summer Games has been canceled, aka
hypothetically moving to summer 2021.
Next summer, yeah.
Bachelor in Paradise is most likely not happening this year. And what's going to happen is, this is like literally their biggest plan. I'm actually shaking when I'm saying
this. I don't know any of this, so just tell me.
They're going to, hypothetically, if everything is okay in like July, August, they're going to rent out a resort similar to what they do in Bachelor in Paradise and keep it a very controlled set. And they're going to have Claire's season of The Bachelorette in like one location. So think like Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelor Pad that they just had at the house. It's going to be like a scaled down set, shorter week. So it'll be like where it used to be 8, it'll be 6 or something. But apparently like I said, those extra weeks were for travel time and press. Yeah. And sometimes they would even pull the lead out of the show to be like, okay, time to film your commercial for the trailer that's going to drop next week. Like they would do these things. And I don't know if that means they wouldn't be flying families in for hometowns. I don't know if that means they'd be leaving for hometowns.
Well, maybe at that point, things would be safer.
It'll likely be Zoom call hometowns. I'm like shaking thinking about it. But that's their plan because their biggest priority is having this season of The Bachelorette. They don't care about the other things. They're like, you know what? These are our, like, even though I think everyone's favorite is Bachelor in Paradise, right. They're like, you know what? We're committed to Claire's season of The Bachelorette. So that could be what they do.
It's a cultural reset.
A cultural reset. What do you think of this?
I love it.
I agree. I think it's cracked, and Claire is so cracked, and it'd be perfect.
I would have loved to have seen Claire's hair blowing in the wind while she looks over the Austrian hills or something like that. But this is better than nothing, and my biggest fear was that either they were going to cancel the season in general or move it to another year and
still could,
which they still could, and like that would be fine, but they would just need to recast the men at that point.
Well, and that's the other tea I have for you. So she knows who all the guys are in her season at
this
point.
Did they meet? Like, did they film like the...
I don't think so. Okay. I think the guys were already like in their hotels.
Okay.
Sequestered. They were quarantined.
Which they do that, yeah.
Getting ready to go shoot. Because I think, like I said, I think it shut down literally the day that filming was supposed to be.
Yeah. I remember that. You're telling me.
So someone who was... She knows who all of them are at this point. Someone who was on her season, his name is Matt James. Not to be confused with our friend, Matt James. Matt James, who you would know because he is best friends and roommates with Tyler Cameron, a.k.a. my obsession.
Tyler from Tyler C. season.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the guy that's like always with Tyler doing TikToks and videos. He's like super hot, super tall.
Was he the one who was quarantined with Hannah?
He's in the quarantine crew, like this like cracked crew.
Mm-hmm.
But he was going to be on this season of The Bachelorette. Like, obviously, the casting was like, oh my God, we love this guy. Like, Tyler put him on. So, this is Tyler's roommate and best friend. Okay. He's really hot. He's, like, younger. Here's the tea. He has a Cameo account.
Oh, of course.
$29 for a Cameo video.
Of course.
He has been doing press.
About the show?
About Bachelorette, how he can't wait to meet Claire.
Oh, bullshit.
And so, Claire tweeted, like, you're in this for the wrong reasons. Like, she didn't tweet it which is iconic, but Claire does this.
That's so Claire.
But she's tweeting, like, guys from my season who are already getting cameos and doing these things, like, you're obviously in this for the wrong reasons.
Uh-huh.
Which, like, we can have conversations about right and wrong reasons at length because, you know, we both agree, like, what is the wrong reason at this point? Because you know you're going to get a platform going into it. So, like, knowing that and going into it.
She is
she's amazing.
Amazing.
So he can't be on her season
anymore. They'll recast at this point.
And if I were him, I'd be like, I'm good. I'll see you next summer kind of thing.
And they'll recast too because they need some older guys for her.
They do.
She doesn't want to be dating 29-year-olds.
No.
She's going to be 40 next year. So like they need to find like what about like a nice single dad?
I don't think
like
there's
Kenny
any.
From a few seasons ago.
Oh my God. I know. He was so nice. Did he ever do Paradise? I think he did Paradise.
He did because then we saw like images of his daughter.
She was a big girl.
She was a big girl for like the age that she was.
I don't mean like heavy, but like she looked way older than she was.
Like it says in the thing she's like 8 or 9 and she looks like she's like 13.
She's like, Dad, take me to the market.
He's like carrying her.
Oh my God.
I'm being so cracked. But anyway,
okay, well, that's a relief to know. That's a relief to know. Do you have any other updates?
No, just that Tyler Cameron's body is so snatched.
I know.
And his TikToks are like rude.
Oh, I don't even follow.
Oh my God. It's sick. He's also quarantined with a lot of people. And at this point, I'm like, what's happening?
Well,
y'all are breaking.
People make their own rules at this point.
They do.
The last thing that I want to touch on is just Drag Race.
Okay.
Drag Race. And then we also have Super Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
So many things.
I just want to say that my favorite queen of the season, Jan, went home 2 weeks ago. And I was absolutely devastated. and I really thought she was going to be like in the finals, if not like the final five. And the season is not going at all the way that I really thought it was going to be, as New York queens one by one have sort of been eliminated.
Wig. And this week, another New York queen almost went.
Yeah.
Jackie was in the bottom.
With a powerful lip sync to Katy Perry's Firework.
That was iconic.
Katy Perry songs might be some of the best lip sync numbers. Katy Perry and like Pink.
Katy Perry is drag.
Wow.
She's putting on, like, all the songs are performances, you know? Tea. Like,
that's how most of our female pop stars are. Taylor Swift talked about this in Miss Americana, how female performers have to constantly be reinventing themselves to stay interesting. Like, think about all the women who are superstars who have eras. Like, they just did a Madonna episode of Drag Race where they had all the different this versions.
Oh, yeah.
If they were to do, like, you know,
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, what are his eras?
He doesn't have it.
Mustache, beard.
Literally, I know. The men don't have to do anything different.
No. So it's just, it's, you know, that's because society needs women to continue to change themselves. It's fascinating thing that sort of a diatribe that Taylor goes on in Miss Americana. But
gonna have to stay on
Drag Race is still my favorite part of the week. And it's actually was pleasantly surprised by Super Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
I know.
Or secret, of course, super secret.
The joke was, who was the secret that we still don't know who these celebrities are? But no, you fall in love with these people after like a few minutes. And
but I just loved the message of what the show was
dragging
ultimately him. Doing.
Nico, come on, drama.
I loved the message of what they were doing, and
it was amazing. It was amazing. And Jordan Connor from Riverdale did a fabulous
job. He was so good.
Job.
I thought it was so funny. Our friends were like, who are these celebrities? And I was like, well, sadly, Connor and I do know who they are. Because, of course, we are entrenched in all of the low-budget celebrities.
I know. I loved it.
I'm interested to see who will be on next week. I have a feeling that Gus Kenworthy will be on at some point.
Oh, yes.
But who knows? It was interesting that they had two straight men, and then Nico, who's non-binary.
Yeah.
On there.
Oh, God. And the best part of the show was Trixie, Bob, and Monet.
Yeah.
Just.
And our girl Nina will be on. Alyssa Edwards.
I think Asia O'Hara is going to be on.
Yeah. So, like, really good queens are going to be coming back. Also, if anyone knows how I can watch Drag U, please send me the link to watch that. But I think we should probably start wrapping up, Connor. We've been having so much fun.
Too much fun. Oh, my God. Okay. I have a dose of drama this week, which, of course, is, you know, where we like to wrap up and hear from everyone and kind of give a little shade, a little tea to spill. Ooh.
Drama.
I'm a self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay. SoulCycle, which is where I work sometimes, celebrated its 14th birthday, and I posted a emotion Insta about it. I was like, I'm going to pay it forward. Also use it as an excuse to, like, post a picture in Quora that I never posted before. SoulCycle's Instagram doesn't care if I live or die. I've tagged them so many times, and my drama is they literally don't acknowledge
why that do
exists.
You think that is? I mean, you've worked with them for like ever.
I worked there for over a year and a half, and they literally hate me, and I've tagged them before, and they don't, like, I see them writing all over these other posts about, like, all the instructors, and they're just like, we love you, we heart you, like, couldn't imagine life without you. I'm literally there in my freaking yellow staff shirt being like, I heart you, SoulCycle. And they don't even care if I live or die. And that's my drama. It's like, okay, cool.
That's annoying.
It is.
I'm hateful. Sorry.
I don't really care that much.
Well, it's frustrating because it's like you are there more often than
the hard yards.
Some of the instructors even are, but they're like the ones like kind of turned into like celebrities.
Totally. All right. Do you have a dose of drama?
I do. My dose is related to One Direction, the boy band. And there's this rumor that they're going to be reuniting this year for their 10-year anniversary, which, of course, we know that Zayn left the band and they had to carry on as a 4-piece band and then ultimately went on a hiatus in 2015. I would absolutely melt if they reunited this year. It is like truly something that I have been dreaming of because I do love all of their solo careers, but having them as a 5-piece band together again for this year would be great. I would be sad if it was via Zoom, but I would ultimately have to be comfortable with them doing some sort of reunion in any way. And so my dose is that rumor is out there.
The rumors are true.
The rumors
I'm just
are
kidding.
True.
I know. Oh, I love 1D.
I know. So I think we've given everyone some drama to like chew on.
Yes. And we've got more fun to come.
We do. We have some fun things in store for next month. Believe it or not, this is our last April episode. And there's going to be some great things coming down the line.
Ah!
And I suppose we'll just see you next time.
Drama.